You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio on the News Talk Powerhouse for North Alabama. That's us, Right Side Radio, the biggest show across the afternoons in North Alabama, made big, by the way, by a great audience of Right Side Ruffians. I want to hear from some of y'all today, by the way. I'm going to go ahead and keep moving forward on the Triple Dipper for the day, giving you the three story themes you've got to know, got to be tracking. But if you want to call in, 866-494-9866. Copper will grab the phones, put you on. I'd love to hear your feedback on what's happened today with the generals and the SecDef testifying before the state or the Senate Armed Services Committee. I'd love to know if you have any thoughts about the fact that down in Montgomery right now, they are considering prison construction. But I believe mostly because of Democrat action, they are requiring considering what I would consider some sentencing reform, sort of leniency type bills. And I mean, here's another classic example. I said in my Triple Dipper that Democrats don't want criminals locked up. And Chris England, who is the Tuscaloosa Democrat, the chair of the Democrat Party, a leader in the Democrats in the state legislature, he said that new prisons are not going to take care of the immediate humanitarian crisis in state prisons. And he goes on to talk about the fact that he wants additional reforms. He wants even more reforms. But he doesn't specify what they are. He wants reforms that he says will address staffing and overcrowding. And, well, I got news. Staffing and overcrowding and violence. Let's talk about these prisons they're going to build. All right. First of all, violence occurs when prisoners are left in the position where they have access to each other on a regular basis. And right now, some of the facilities they have are communal. All right. They have these massive rooms. I'll never forget in St. Clair facility, I said it a while ago, St. Clair Correctional Facility, I went in, I was shocked. It was extremely uncomfortable to think of this happening in any capacity, much less a prison, where they had like 150 men in bunk beds in one basketball gym-sized room. Unreal. There's pictures of it online. You can see it. It's unreal. Well, violence occurs when you don't have proper facilities, in part. I'm not saying entirely, but in part. The issue with staffing? Well, right now, some of these old, archaic, broken-down prisons, no one wants to work in those because they are unsafe, but those who do work in them, it's hard to recruit people to join their ranks when many of them were put out into places where they don't have a good recruiting base. I mean, if the recruiting base is in some of the major metropolitan areas, shouldn't there be close access to these major recruiting bases to bring people to work? So you don't necessarily have to live in remote Perry County or remote Elmore County. In order to work at one of these facilities, you can live closer to home and still get to work at one of these facilities. Recruiting is a big, big deal, but how you recruit is a big deal. So these facilities are being designed in part to take care of that issue. And the other thing he mentions is overcrowding. When you don't have enough bed space, what are you supposed to do? Keep stacking up bunk beds? It doesn't work that way, Representative England, and you know it. And the things that he wants to deal with that help with recidivism, and actually I think it was State Senator Bobby Singleton, who's the Democrat minority leader in the state Senate. I know Bobby, he's a good dude, but he's definitely someone on different political persuasion than me. But State Senator Singleton said that we need to do things to reduce recidivism. Well, the new facilities are being designed to be in closer proximity to education facilities that can provide instruction to prisoners. They're also being designed with internal education facilities to allow for, distance learning, to allow for skills training, to be all these things are being built into these systems. And I'm just telling you right now, the things that they're screaming for, they want sentencing reforms. They want to let people out on the street quicker. But it's not going to work if you don't have the original facilities in a place to make their time in jail, which they have to serve, something that is profitable to the community as a whole and to that individual and to those who work there. I see I've got a caller on line one. Let me go to Richard from Ardmore. Hey, Richard, Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, man, I heard you say something about when you first came on. You was talking about how the judicial system in the United States was the best on the planet, and I know you talked about, you know, defunding the police. So that's a, it's a two-part comment that I wanted to make.
All right, go ahead.
But the first part is I think that you're absolutely 100% right. You are right. The problem is not with the judicial system or the government. It's got to do with the people that are running it. And it starts off at the top, the people that are hiring these people. If you give somebody a little bit more money than minimum wage to start them off, you're digging from a very small pool of people. I mean, you know, think about it. You got to be a police officer. You have to know the law. You can't just walk down the street and start arresting people without knowing the law. So you have to have equivalent to probably a small law degree. And you, and if you, all you're going to do is just give somebody a little bit more than minimum wage, who do you think you're going to get?
Well, hey, Richard, let me jump in there and tell you, too, and I agree. When I was a state senator, I was shocked to find out that deputies in my one of my counties were being paid literally just barely above minimum wage. And so I was able to hold a hearing, look at some of the county budgeting, and require that certain funds that came from the state get redirected to give those deputies a raise, and got them up to they now became the highest paid law enforcement agency in the county. And I agree with you. Those guys go out there and do hard stuff. Sometimes they're out there on the backside of the county by themselves responding to a domestic disturbance call at 3 in the morning, and they're getting paid barely more than minimum wage, and that's wrong. Hey, Richard, by the way, Richard, did you are you a police officer yourself?
Excuse me?
Are you a police officer yourself?
you wouldn't believe who you're actually talking to, but the truth of the matter is that my second part of this is like, you know, you were saying about the judicial system and everything, and I actually jumped to the second part of my comment.
Yeah, but hurry up.
The
man.
First part of it is the reason why it's in my opinion, and I've been living here. I was born on Western Muscle, been here all my life, and so it's not a black or white thing. And it has nothing to do with that. What it's all about is you have a black police officer and you have a white police officer. If they go on something something happening in the disturbance, the black police officer is going to side with the white police officer almost every time, even if it was to break the law, because the police officers are so they've got this climate that they live in to where if you go against another police officer, then you
did we lose him? Copper, did we just lose Richard?
No, I'm still here.
Okay. Now, you cut off in mid-sentence. But, Richard, I need you to wrap it up real quick, bud. Go ahead and finish up your comment.
But anyway, the last thing to say is if you're going to be able to fix the problem with this defunding stuff once you get the people that is higher up to stop allowing the law department to break the law and making everybody mad because they get away with things that we can't.
Hey, Richard from Ardmore, thanks for your comments, man. I'm not sure I agree with every bit of it. I believe that police officers close ranks because they also believe in what they do. It's less about the color and standing with each other. I think it's more about the fact that they are enforcing the law together and they are brothers and sisters in arms. But, Richard, thanks for the call, man. I'm going to go to line two. I got Dorman from Huntsville. Hey, Dorman, Phil Williams here. Did we lose Dorman from Huntsville? Is he still on the line, Copper? We lost him. Okay. All right. Well, listen, folks, the phone lines are open, 866-494-9866. 866-494-9866. What are your thoughts? Prison reform, we can cover down on that. The testimony before the Senate Armed Services Committee by the SecDef and the generals today, what are your thoughts on that? We got some time left. We can still take some more calls. I'm gonna go ahead and just hazard a guess that calls are gonna be coming in on this topic. And I'm hearing. I know some of you are gonna call in and say we don't need more prisons. Some of you are gonna call in and say you don't want sentencing reform. And in fact, I see right now Steve from Coleman's on line four. Before we go to the break, I want to get Steve from Coleman in here. Hey, Steve, Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. What's on your mind, man?
Yeah, you guys got it all wrong.
Okay.
I mean, it ain't more prisons ain't going to solve it. And that last guy who calls, no offense, but I think he's a moron. I mean, the simple solution, it would be all the convicts that get in jail, you sign a deal with them. They don't have to spend any time in jail as long as they don't come back to Alabama and just send them to another state. Like Hawaii or, you know, get them a ticket and dump them somewhere else.
So, Steve, let me ask you a question, man. Are you telling me that you think if a prisoner, somebody who already committed to crime, signs a contract, they're gonna stand up to that contract?
Well, yeah, you ship to, if they come back to the state, they'll be shot. I mean, it's simple. They won't come back. They'll go to Hawaii, get them a one-way ticket to Hawaii, and there you go.
All right, brother. Well, listen, I think we better think through that comment a little more because I'm pretty sure that wouldn't stand up in court. Steve from Cullman, man, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate you. Folks, we're up against that little short break we got to take in the middle here. Going to take, and Copper, you're right, we don't want California's criminals coming here either. But folks, listen, we're going to take this short break, come back. These phone lines are going to stay open because I'm getting some fun comments today. 866-494-9866. Military stuff before the Senate Armed Services Committee. Prison reform and prison construction bills going on in Montgomery right now. How do you feel about this stuff? If we have time, I've still got point three on the triple dipper that liberals are suffering right now in their agendas from self-inflicted wounds. I'm going to try and get back to that when we come back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative app. Just playing right. Hey, listen, this is the biggest show across the afternoons in North Alabama, and we're proud of it. It's because of this audience, and it's an honor to have you in our audience. It's an honor to even have this platform. Copper, Copper made a comment during the break, and I'm going to go ahead and say, hey, Copper, you've got to come on and say what you said about the guy who called in. He was talking about what to do with prisoners, just ship them off to other states and tell them they'll be shot if they come back. What was your comment?
Yeah, that's entirely rude. We shouldn't mess up other states, but we could deport them to Mexico.
That'd be
karma. Mexico deports their criminals to us. We can deport ours to them.
Oh, so basically what you're saying, though, is that Mexico, by not guarding their borders, is a de facto deportation or exportation, if you will. Export, that's what it is. We're exporting. They're exporting their criminal elements.
You know,
and you want us to export ours. Is that what you're saying?
It also might work well for rehab because once they realize how good the U.S. is, they might be like, please let us come back. We'll be good now.
Now you may be onto something. Now you truly may be onto something there. Because I'll be honest with you, when you do get outside the borders of the United States, you quickly realize that in some countries, the darkest alley in the United States is better than the best roads in some countries. And it's
yeah.
But Copper, I'll be honest with you. I don't know that we can do that.
But exile, you know, has been a historical form of punishment. There's precedent here. And it's a lot more cost effective than prisons.
You know, what do I do here? I'm just going to go ahead and just laugh and say the phone lines are open. 866-494-9866. 866-494-9866. I've had enough chocolate to where I am punchy right now, and my caffeine is starting to wear off. Folks, if you want to call in, we got a little time for the next break, and I'm going to take calls for the whole next half hour. But listen, here's the thing. Triple Dipper is the story. Copper, I tell you what, you got my Triple Dipper sound effect? Let's play it one more time just for fun. Give me my Triple Dipper sound effect, if you will. Do you have it ready? Go for it. Oh, she's waking. I caught her off guard. Copper. No.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
There it is. Thank you. I should give you more warning next time. But the bottom line is this. The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know. Today we've been dealing with, we gotten two of them out of the way. The military is just a tool for liberals. That's one. And you're seeing it in the woke policies, you're seeing it in the politics being mixed up in the way they use the military, and you're seeing it, by the way, in every aspect of military life right now, to include the fact that they're now appointing chiefs of diversity and inclusion at Special Operations Command. I mean, come on. The next thing in the Triple Dipper was this, that Democrats don't really want criminals locked up. They want things to be made easier so criminals can go home quicker, because it's mean to lock people up. Jerry Nadler wrote a letter to the Secretary of the Treasury saying mass incarceration is this not what's a proper usage of COVID relief funds? And you got, you know, the Democrats in the state house calling for more sentencing reforms. We got to fix some things. We got to fix some broken stuff. No, we don't. We have to fix the facilities first so that we can then have the opportunity to incarcerate people and consider next what our situation would hold. And folks, the next one is this. Liberals are suffering from self-inflicted wounds. In the next half hour, I'm going to be pounding on some things that I think are just kind of funny to watch as the Democrats are literally falling apart right now in every capacity. I've got a serious call, though, I want to take. So I'm going to go to line one, and I only have a couple of minutes, so I hope I'm not going to do this an injustice here. But Carl from Harvest, you've got a comment about your parents, yes. One of your parents being in prison, and I'd love to hear it. Right Side Radio here.
Are you there?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Carl Brooks, and my father was murdered in prison. And he told us, as kids, before he was murdered, that there's a certain element in the prison that controls the prison, and the guards allowed that because it took the work off their back. So if a certain element in the prison controlled it, they didn't have to.
Well, Carl, and first of all, I'm sorry for your loss. I don't care what anyone's life has been like. You hate to hear that someone was taken away before their time. And so I'm certainly sorry for your family having to go through that. And was he in an Alabama prison, can I ask?
No, he was in New Mexico.
In New Mexico? Well, and you know, and part of that's going to wind up being because I don't know what New Mexico's prisons are like, but I can tell you, and Carl, I'm out of time, so I can't keep on the line with you, but thank you for the call. And I'm gonna hazard a guess that some of the safety issues in Alabama's prisons are in part because of the archaic manner in which they were designed, and they're no longer functional. And I cannot imagine being a Department of Corrections guard in some of these facilities. And one of the ones that I toured is being shut down, St. Clair, and it needs to be. So, Carl, thanks for calling in, man. Thank you for your being candid with us, and I'm sorry for your family's loss. But that's a situation that, in part, is hopefully going to be cured in Alabama by the construction of new facilities, and that's got to happen. We will talk more about that at a later time. In the meantime, folks, we'll be right back after this break to talk about how liberals are shooting themselves in the foot at every turn. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here in the last half hour of Right Side Radio for this week. Hey, folks, I got to tell you real quick, too, about my friends over at ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions, what an amazing group of folks. I know them personally. I know them well. And they do an amazing job of putting people back to work on a regular basis at every turn. If you're looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. If you're an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your own workforce, go check out their website, ZLAUSA.com. They will do all the recruiting. They'll do the sign-ups. They'll do the background checks. They'll do all of it, and they put them right to work. And they're doing it all over Alabama and doing an amazing job at it. They are so good. The kind of their motto is like, at ZLA, we don't make it. We make it better. And that's what they do. They make it easier for you to be an employer or an employee, for that matter. Go check them out. ZLAUSA.com is their website. So, hey, folks, I'm going to spend some time now literally just kind of almost laughing at the self-inflicted wounds, if you will, the self-inflicted wounds of shooting themselves in the foot that liberals do on a regular basis because they are so overreaching right now. They are so emboldened by the idea that they've got all these people in office and we're going to do all these things. And yet they are fighting among themselves more than you would ever believe. And I get frustrated, by the way, with Republicans. You know, we've had a chance to overturn Obamacare, and we had the famous thumbs down motion from John McCain. We've had an opportunity to reconcile issues that I thought should have been reconciled to right side spending, and it didn't always happen. But nothing to the extent of what I'm seeing right now, where the infighting among Democrats and the self-inflicted wounds of Democrats is literally causing their own agendas to implode. And I don't even know where to begin with this. Some of it's just funny. I mean, some of it is just like, you know, people are just kind of getting backslapped by their attempts to move forward. Like, for instance, right now, let's do this. In D.C., this is a crucial week for the Biden administration's agendas. Their domestic agenda is literally on the line with two major spending bills. Two bills that I'd be fine if both of them just up and died, because they are huge spending bills, largely filled with pork. One of them does have what they call bipartisan infrastructure format, meaning that it already came out of the Senate and there were 19 Republicans who joined the Democrats in passing a $1.3, I believe it was, trillion-dollar bill that would build, most of which would be considered more real infrastructure, roads and bridges and that kind of thing. But still, it's $1.3 trillion in additional spending. It's not the timing for that right now. Our economy is still recovering. This is not the time to drive forward with new spending and increased debt at all. But the other one, the one that's got liberals up in arms that is causing the first bill to potentially fail, is a $3.5 trillion spending package. And it is filled with the most liberal gobbledygook you've ever seen. And when I say that, I'm not talking about a few hidden provisions in the bill that just do liberal things. No, the bill is designed to be a liberal progressive's wish list. And they think they've got it going on right now, so they want to spend $3.5 trillion that we don't have. But here's the thing. It's breaking down in front of their very eyes. Nancy Pelosi had to come out this week and change her strategy, because the smaller bill came out of the Senate, went to the House. But the liberal wing of the House Democrats is freaking out because they don't want the little bill. They want the big bill. And so they're saying they won't vote for the little bill if they don't get a chance to vote on the big bill first. Well, Nancy Pelosi has been siding with them until today. She came out because she realizes they're going to lose on everything, and she's saying we're going to go forward on just a small bill for now. And the progressives are freaking out. The squad is having themselves a moment. There is weeping and gnashing of teeth among the liberal progressives in the House because they want it, because you know what's in it? Copper, throw a guess out there. If you could imagine something liberal progressive, some policy being put into a spending bill, what would you imagine it would be?
Something about the environment?
Oh, yes. Wouldn't you love to see what they're calling the Civilian Climate Corps, to the tune of $7.5 billion, an organization that will employ thousands of young people to carry out conservation and climate change-related projects on public lands being paid for as part of the Civilian Climate Corps. What they're basically doing is making a bunch of green activists on government dollars. So there's one. What else could you imagine, Copper? Anything else you can think of in there?
Well, I saw one earlier that was fining people or fees for the amount of miles you drive.
Yes. So they got $12 billion in this bill to go towards electric cars, but then they're also going to have an electric vehicle charging equity program. Mm. And they're looking at the possibility of helping also fund increased infrastructure by charging you by the mile as opposed to making you pay a gas tax at the pump, because they know that electric vehicles don't pay gas taxes at the pump, so they got to get you somehow. Then you got to have a little chip in your car, and the little chip will tell them how many miles you drove, and you get to pay a fee on that. Wouldn't that be fun? How about this? $79 billion for the IRS. $79 billion. It's a big, huge funding boost to the IRS so that they can expand their ability to conduct audits and modernize themselves. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's a dangerous thing, especially what we saw under the Obama administration. How about this? $3 billion, Copper, for tree equity. Do you have any idea what tree equity even means?
Tree equity. Tree huggers?
Yes. So tree equity, where did it go? Tree equity is for the tree huggers. It's an agricultural project to put $3 billion of tree planting into cities that don't have enough trees. That's important for our tax dollars.
That's fine in theory, but why do they have to call it something so cringy as tree equity?
It's tree equity because it's not equitable if they don't have enough trees. They got to have more trees, Copper. It's not right. They should pay their fair share.
First racism, now what? Arborism?
Yes, it's arborism. You're an arborist. No, wait. It's arborist. Okay, but then I heard this. You got to help out the unions, right? I mean, if you're in the Biden administration, you know you're all about the unions. How about this? One eyebrow-raising provision would give taxpayers a deduction on their taxes for paying dues to a labor organization. Can you imagine this? Solely designed to help boost union participation, they're giving a tax credit or deduction on your taxes if you pay dues to your union. That's ridiculous. That's a private sector enterprise that you're being given a tax credit or tax deduction for joining a union. Unions are notoriously liberal, and this is a horrible situation here. I mean, it goes on. It has all kinds of things in there about social progressivism. It's got a lot of hidden items buried in the deep recesses of the bill. Things like $198 million for, quote, school leadership programs. Makes you wonder what that's going to mean. And so all said and done, that bill is dangerous because it's everything that liberals scream about on social media actually being compacted into one bill. But they are falling apart right now. The liberals are falling apart right now. And the hope is among conservatism is that they are going to fail because if they don't pass one, they may not pass both. And the Senate has already made it clear. Don't send us that big honking $3.5 trillion bill because we're not going to take it up. We're not going to take it. And that's going to be an interesting dynamic to see what happens because we have two Democrats right now that are holding out. You got Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona and Joe Manchin from West Virginia. And if the two of them continue to maintain their moderate Democrat stance on fiscal policy and say we won't vote for this huge massive spending bill, then it dies. It has no hope of passage unless other Republicans flip, and they're not right now. Right now we see unanimity among our Senate Republicans, and that's good. But other things are happening. Let's go into COVID world for a minute. COVID world. All right, so isn't it interesting that I've talked to a while ago about Governor Hochul from New York, who has decided she's going to deploy her National Guard to backfill all the doctors and nurses and other healthcare providers that she's decided to fire because they wouldn't get a vaccine. At the same time as they're firing doctors and nurses who have been on the front lines for a year and a half, helping through the pandemic, New York has been ravaged by the pandemic. At the same time, the teachers union has gone to court on behalf of teachers in New York City, you know, the ones who didn't want to open the schools back up. And they got a stay on their situation, and they don't have to get vaccinated and face losing their jobs right now. Now, it's going to go up in front of a three-judge panel. We'll see what winds up happening in the end. But in the meantime, doctors and nurses began losing their jobs last night. But teachers, oh, the teachers union, what a wonderful organization. It's all about the children. The teachers organization has now blocked or helped go to legal action to block the enforcing of a vaccine mandate for teachers. Meanwhile, you look around the nation, that whole vaccine mandate, well, it's not really mandatory for many people. Do you know the NBA, the Players Union for the National Basketball Association, has said that they will not have vaccine mandates for their folks? And I have yet to hear the Biden administration deal with it. Or how about this? The Postal Workers Union. They said, no mandates for us. But wait, aren't they federal employees? Sort of. They're quasi. And I just talked to a friend the other day who's a postal worker, and he said, no, we're not having to get the vaccine mandate. It's not going to happen. So folks, large swaths of society are rejecting this outright. And the whole vaccine mandate thing from the Biden administration is losing steam as we speak. And I guarantee you, these doctors and nurses and other healthcare providers in New York who are losing their jobs because they wouldn't get a shot when they're more qualified to talk about medical care than the bureaucrats in the governor's office, and they're losing their jobs, there's going to be some lawsuits. And that's going to be interesting. And you're going to see legal precedent being set on this, not to mention the fact that Alabama is one of many states who is suing the federal government over this. Well, all this to say, liberals keep making these gaffes. And there was a gaffe that I could not believe. And when we come back, I'm going to play you a clip. Copper, you go ahead and get, which one was that? You go ahead and get the clip ready. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Clip 6. When we come back from this short break, you're going to be amazed to hear what one Democrat leader, a governor, said about people believing in God and the vaccine. It's going to be interesting. It's a self-inflicted wound. It's what Democrats and liberals tend to do these days. They self-inflicted wounds crush their own agendas. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We are wrapping up for the day, but I got a clip you're going to want to hear. I've been talking about the Triple Dipper for the day, the Triple Dipper. Three stories you just got to know, three trends, three things that are happening. The first one we covered down on for over an hour, the military is just a tool for liberals. It's a means by which they can accomplish their liberal ends. It's something they can use as an experimentation place for their progressive policies. Number two in the Triple Dipper has been that Democrats don't really want criminals locked up. They want to make it easier for criminals to get out and walk the streets. They're going to go along with this prison plan to some degree down in Montgomery, but they're already calling down from D.C. trying to put a stop to it. And then the other thing that I'm dealing with right now, the last half hour, is this. Liberals are suffering from self-inflicted wounds on a regular basis. They keep saying and doing things, sometimes out loud, and you look at it and go, what? Like, for instance, on Twitter, it's breaking right now. Jen Psaki said in a press conference today that it's unfair and absurd that companies would increase the cost for consumers in response to us taxing them more. And one of the responses to that was, I believe the basic concepts of economics are completely lost on this administration. And I believe they are. But the clip that I've got next comes from that same governor we talked about earlier, Governor Kathy Hochul, the new governor of New York. And she said something that is both ludicrous and maddening all at the same time. It's clip six, Copper. If you got it ready, go ahead and play it.
Here's what the governor had to say yesterday about this. She went and spoke at a church and she said, yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones. But, you know, there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know this. You know who they are. I need you to be my apostles. Marty, you and I are both people of faith. What do you make of the governor invoking God or saying that he wants you to get vaccinated? And if you're not, then you're not smart.
Well, look, I think if you have understanding that natural immunity is ineffective, which is what many of our government physicians have.
Did you catch that? So that's Governor Hochul, the same one who was firing healthcare providers for not getting the vaccines, who went to a church this past Sunday to speak. And in that church, she spoke up and said, I know that you're the smart ones, that there are people out there who are not listening to God and getting the vaccine. And I need you to be my apostles. What in the world is going on? But folks, I'm just telling you, liberals are just walking around right now with self-inflicted wounds. They can't pass their bills in D.C. because they're fighting among themselves. They say things out loud like people aren't listening to God and getting their vaccinations. They go down certain roads that they know they shouldn't go, like making sure that the $3.5 trillion spending bill allows for things like tree equity and the forming of the Civilian Climate Corps. I mean, there's like a parody going on right now in governance. The scary thing is, though, they could do it, and then it becomes law. And we got to watch this. All right, listen, let me wrap up the show today. I got Scott from Huntsville on line 5. Hey, Scott, Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, Phil, love the show, and give Miss Copper some kudos.
Thank you much.
I wanted to call. I had considered myself somewhat informed about things, but my wife recently told me that Gavin Newsom had basically signed something into effect that more or less made mail-in voting a permanent fixture in California. And I was wondering if you had heard anything about that.
But you know, Scott, I don't know that for a fact, but I will try and look and find the answer, because it would not surprise me a bit, especially when he just went through that that whole recall election, and he made it through, but they certainly made him think twice. But I'm pretty sure that if anyone is going to sign an order that allows for mail-in ballot harvesting and that kind of thing, it's going to be Gavin Newsom. Scott, I'll find out for you, brother. And I appreciate you being in the audience. And Copper heard your comments, too, so we appreciate that very much. We got a great audience, folks. A great audience. And it's been a full day. The Triple Dipper was full of stuff today. And I'm going to tell you right now, Gavin Newsom is one more example of, you know, liberals walking around with self-inflicted wounds. You know what? Conservatives, we can see you, liberals. We know what you're up to. And we are watching it. And there's an audience full of right-side ruffians that are looking at it and going, you know what? Not on my watch. Listen, folks, we're going to be back tomorrow with more of this from 2 to 5. Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. He will be here to educate you even further down the line on conservative principles. Folks, I love you. Have a great night.